You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Just have fun with it. When you can have a career that is something that you love, it is easy. Even though this is a tiring career, we're tired. We're working hours upon hours, but you do it because you love it. And you do it because you love live theater. You do it because you want to, you know, show people that there are Black folks on stage, behind the scenes, everything. You want them to experience that feeling when you go into a live theater.
Welcome to the Black Business of Broadway, a podcast brought to you by the Broadway League and Black to Broadway. Here, we highlight the stories, how-tos, and successes of the Black professionals and legends of Broadway. I am your host, Janine Scott. I'd like to welcome our guest, Tony Award-winning producer and 2020 Tony Honors winner, Lady Irene Gandy. And joining Lady Irene is CEO and founder of Realmen Productions and Broadway League member Tony Israel. Welcome to you both, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
I want to start off with Lady Irene Gandy. Your career spans over 50 years and counting. In your Tony Honors acceptance speech, you credit the Negro Ensemble Company. Absolutely. For helping to give you your start in 1967. Can you talk to us about your beginnings and what this company meant to you and others like you, especially during that period of time?
Well, the thing is, I'm a behind-the-scenes person, but first of all, I have to say, I did have to thank Douglas Turner Ward, because none of us, Sam Jackson, Denzel, Felicia, all of it, we wouldn't have been able to be on Broadway, to get the jobs, to get paid. And like I said in my acceptance speech, Doug Woody provided productions, and Doug provided productions, but Doug, what Douglas Turner Ward did, he wrote that Dear White Letter in 1968, because he wanted to have a school of training, like all of the other schools, you know. I forgot, you know, the famous school that Pacino, everybody comes from. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. You can have all the greatest intentions in the world, but if you cannot get the jobs, it's like right. Catch 22. If you don't have the experience and you don't have being able to have the credit to get the jobs. And so what he did, he brought in like Gerald Crone, who was one of the founder members, who was a member of the union, who taught, who got it, who knew how the contracts, who knew how to make us on a Lort contract. We were in a Lort contract, which a Lort contract is what, I don't know if it's still Lort, but what enables like the public theater and Lincoln Center to have, because what show runs on Broadway for 3 years? And so we were able to apprentice that. So this is exactly who I credit to. We all credit them, you know. And it was about excellence. It was about excellence in the theater. And he kept the Negro Ensemble Company because there would be no more. That was what it was, you know, not for some activist things, but for people of color, you know, to excel. Yeah.
Exactly. Tony, I want to bring you into the conversation. In your My Broadway Story, featured on the Leaks website, you mentioned your love of theater starting with The Wiz. How did that become a catalyst for where you are today?
Well, one, let me start with, I'm definitely honored to be a part of this podcast.
Yes.
You know, coming after, and I've used the word after very wisely, after Lady Irene Gandy, you know, learning from ladies like Lady Irene Gandy is, you know, is a wealth of knowledge. So that first, definitely give homage to, you know, the folks who we're standing on their shoulders. So
exactly.
I want to say that first. But in reference to myself, yes, The Wiz and Arms Too Short to Box with God was probably my first two. And I was introduced to theater at a young age through my mom. You know, I credit her for my love of theater. And I always say that's when theater chose me. I didn't think that at the time, but looking back on it, that's when theater chose me. So just following the path that God has laid before me. And I'm deeply honored and humbled to be in this world of Broadway. So,
right.
Yeah. But so, The Wiz, yes.
When The Wiz came out, the reviews were awful, and they really did not want to see a woman of color Stephanie Mills, do the role, and they called her a troll and everything. It was just me and Dean Rashad, we were talking about that the other day, how all that happened. And Ken Harper was one of the original. He was a Black producer on the show, and the church, and he had members of the church. And what we did, myself, Ida Lewis, Evelyn Cunningham, we got together, same thing that we do, and we got together a group of Black women and the Deltas and 100 Black women, and we said we're going to keep, and that's how that show stayed alive for 5 years.
Wow.
And so, excellent for what I'm saying now. In those days, we didn't have any marketers, we didn't have a community, but for me, I still had a job. You know, I've always been working, but when I say it's bigger than me, because I cannot take anything personally, because what if I take something personally, what I'm doing is stopping the young people like Tony Israel from seeing The Wiz.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that power. We can't let people tell us what to do. I don't care who it is, your children, your relationships, your jobs. And that's what I'm saying. So it's bigger than me. You have to have some kind of accountability. You know, this can't be the spook that sat by the door.
There
are things you can do. It's like Tony knows that I am not a community specialist. I'm not doing infringing on Tony's job. We talk about that. I ask her for help. But she does know that I'm an influencer. And if I'm sitting back, oh, let her do it. I mean, she doesn't have the relationships with Reverend Sharpton and Felicia Rashad and all of those people. And she, because she can't, because she's young. You know, so why am I going to sit back and she's working on a show and I can bring some input like Mona Scott, like the Winans and things, because these are people, relationships I've built, and say, well, oh, that's what she's supposed to. That's not how you do it. So it's bigger than me.
Exactly.
They must say you're doing a wonderful job on all your shows.
Yes, you are.
I don't want to do it. I got real respect for you because I forgot what Honey Child I can do.
Yeah. Hadestown.
Yeah. Hadestown is a big cue. But I just want to interject what Lady Irene said. You know, learning from, you know, that generation is so very important. When you can have someone like myself pick up the phone, pick up my cell, and I can call Miss Irene and she picks up. That's key. She picks up the cell. So when I have, you know, questions to ask her, she's there. So that's what relationships are built off of. She's teaching the new generation and, you know, we're learning from her generation. Yeah. So that's so very important, especially as Black women, you know, that is extremely important. And I will, Miss Irene will say, you know, you don't call me often and I will pick up your phone when you call because I know you have something to say. So that's right. That's wonderful in itself. So, and you know, MJ the musical, you know, she is everything. Like she said, she has those relationships and we're learning from her. So we're looking, we're watching. I always tell her that we're watching. and we're learning.
So you mentioned Lady Irene, and who, what other mentors have you sought out, Tony?
Well, I will say for myself, you know, Donna Walker Kuhn is my OG, and I call her that, my forever mentor. I have three mentors, and Donna Walker Kuhn is definitely one of them. There's also Myra Isaacs, who, even before Donna said, what can I do to help? And she was right there to help me. I didn't know I was going to go into Broadway. I knew I loved Broadway, but I never knew this could be or was going to be a career for me. So those women right there were definitely instrumental. And they're still my mentors. I still credit them on everything.
And also, too, I'm saying that as I keep reminding, as a Tony Award producer with Jeffrey Richards for 38 years, you have to create your own stuff. You know, we have two shows. They haven't been announced. I have Pal Jory. I'm the lead producer on that. I'm the lead producer on them. But I'm not sitting home and say, oh, I got a Tony. I create, you know, and when Tony does his induce, and, you know, we have relationships with Harlem Week and stuff like that. You know, I'm consulting with Rock Nation and people like that. You know, so we have these. That's another thing I really want to say. When you have these connections, or you don't just have, you have to. It's like a plant. You nourish them.
Mm-hmm.
Call them, say, how they doing? And another thing we don't get a chance to talk to each other because we're all, I love that fact. You, and listening, like you have three people that all you young ladies are working together, you know, because people have to know that you cannot do it alone.
Correct.
You cannot do it alone. And you don't have to.
Yes.
That's what you say. I need something, because people will help you.
Yes,
they will.
Yes.
And I've found that being new to the city, mm-hmm. and I have felt that just the support and the community that exists mm-hmm. from the day that I stepped foot here, and the outreach and the calls, even I'll go back to just when it was announced, the emails that I got from people, and I'm mm-hmm. just like, how did they even get my email? They're sending it to my work email.
Yeah.
And so that community and that mentorship, it's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
There's two things we have to thank realistically, and you can jump in and tell both mm-hmm. of you, for this climate emotional change on Broadway. We have to thank George Floyd. We have to thank the pandemic, because nobody would have been home listening to anything.
Yeah.
And nobody would have been felt safe enough to speak on it.
Yeah. So it's the timing.
It's the timing. Because mm-hmm. this can, you know, we could, you know, so, I mean, not to say it's a good thing, because people really just don't know.
Right.
I mean, I had a conversation with producers over the summer that I was teaching producers how to talk to Black people, but that's a whole other story. That's a whole other conversation. and they would say, some people say to me, I didn't know. How come I didn't know? I said, well, what do you mean? I'm the only one that's been in your rooms for like 30 and 40 years.
Yeah.
Why didn't you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
but they really didn't know. They really didn't know.
And they were mad that they didn't know. But
I just wanted to jump in with what she said in reference to the pandemic, you know, with Floyd, the timing of that.
Right.
You know, as marketers, you know, we always use it was a rebirth. It was a reset for us. We had a chance to say what we needed to say because the world was watching at that time, and, you know, still watching. So taking advantage of that situation is mm-hmm. not the right word, but using that time and using that time wisely to change the dynamic of what's going forth. And I know Donna always, she challenged me with one word. She said, so, you know, I'm happy for you, Real Men Productions, group of ladies, but who are you teaching? So I took that very personally, and now mm-hmm. it's on us to teach the younger generation that's coming up. We learn from, you know, Donna, Miss Irene, that generation. It's our generation now. So Janine, you know, you and I, you know, in this whole EDI time frame, but the young folks are looking at us now.
They are,
and they want to see us, you know, flourish. And you know, we have to make sure that the path is even a little bit better for them.
So, Lady Irene, how do we change that dynamic? What can we do? What can others do to do that?
This is just my, listen, I am the spokesman for the Black people.
It's okay. We know that.
I'm not speaking very, but I'm just saying what I feel, here's what I'm thinking. We have to teach people, you don't need to be validated. We're not parking attendants. You can't go in with a defeatist attitude. You cannot have you can't have the solution before the problem. You can't have the answer before the question, because you're already going, well, you know, they're not going to like me, or they're not going to look at me. And already you put that mindset in your mind. And I've never done that. My dad taught me I've never done that. Mm. It's like if you have a fight with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, like, you know, when they call me back, you got a whole bunch of answers. Maybe nobody might never call you back. You got all these answers waiting for them. Nobody picked up the phone.
That is a perfect analogy. That is a perfect analogy. I love that. I'm going to use that.
Also, you're talking to somebody from, you're like, you can't go to New York. You got Janine. You don't need to be there. You don't know nothing about that. You and they have not been off the block.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you have you've talked yourself out of a thing. You have not even left the bed yet.
A lot of young folks are looking for mentors. I am happy to say the mentorships with in my development, they came organically. It wasn't like I was going, I need a mentor. It was like, you know, Donna came into my life, Myra came into life, and they became my mentors because those are women that I looked up to. So of course, like what Miss Irene said, you know, I'm looking at mentors at places that I want to be. So I don't want a mentor on my level. I need a mentor up here. So I'm striving to be up there. So those are the examples.
Can you tell us, how did you get there? We know you had mentors, but how did you get there? Like, how did you say, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life?
You know, I always call it following God's path. And when you know you're on the right path, it comes organically and it comes, I won't use the word easy, but I'm on the right path. You know, meeting Myra, meeting Donna Walker Kuhn, who I say, you know, is responsible for me. So when me happened, Real Amen happened. And Real Amen started out as doing bus trips before I even, you know, came to Broadway. We were on Broadway, but we used to bring busloads of people to the show. And that's how Real Amen Productions came about. And then I met Donna. Donna offered me an internship and I learned under her wing. And then it was like, she was like, okay, it's time for you to fly. And I was like, okay, we're going to start. And then that's first Broadway show that was under Real Amen was Hadestown. And that came from Myra Isaac. So again, it's relationships. Yes. Those relationships stay with you and you build upon them. So again, those two ladies are instrumental in the development of Tony Israel that then was in the development of Real Amen Production. And I can't say enough about the team. We call ourselves the Real Team, which has been introduced to Lady Irene. I made a point that they need to meet Lady Irene. Donna has met them as well. So we have our managing directors, which is Teresa and Janetta. We have a PR team, which we just introduced to Lady Irene, Amanda, and Gianni. We have a media relations, which is Shireen. We have a whole AD department, which is Richard, Dana, Stalene, Bria.
I might need a job.
Ashley.
Right. Hey,
in case things don't work out.
Yes, and Brandon. So we are a team of 14.
Wow.
We are a full-fledged agency. So it's taking, again, what these ladies are teaching us and building on that. So we're not trying to do a carbon copy. We're trying to go a step above and then another step above. And we want the next generation to go even higher.
I remember, I don't even think you know this, Tony. Remember the Broody Shop? They called them the Chitlin' Circus Place.
I do know.
Yeah, remember the Chitlin' Shop a long time ago. And Janine, this is a true story. Of course, everything, you know, this is a true story. And I was in Shelley Garrett and I called the New York Times and I said, you know, I want you to review the show because they were doing $1 million a week. But, you know, because everybody is not, you know, you have working people, everybody, you know, our theater industry, we're also she, the arts, whether it's black or white, we think we're spread. So there are a lot of working people. Like you said, you brought busloads up. So I said to the arts editor, to the critic, I said, I need you to come to review the show. And he said, well, you know, it's just another show about black people. I said, well, I don't get it. Because everything that Neil Simon wrote is just another show about Jewish people in Yonkers. The Irish show you've been doing for every day, Yonkers. So, and then I got him to come. Well, if you know your facts, and the fact that is, people don't know. People don't know that you know. Because if you can send every critic to go see a Neil Simon, I love Neil Simon, or you know, Long Day with the Irish playwright every day. What's the difference between telling our story?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary, and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So how do we, you know, how do we ensure that the trends and practices of the past don't resurface? How do you speak to your clients? How do you speak to those producers about how they engage with those audiences that we're talking about?
So one, there need to be more Black producers. There definitely need to be more Black producers. It does take money, but I think those doors are opening up now. So besides the few that we have, and Miss Irene being one of them, you know, teaching again, we're getting our first producing credit on Broadway, which was under the Hadestown tour. So it's having opportunities like that. I think getting those to the masses of people, I think definitely helps, because when you're a producer, you're running the show, you're the power. And so we have to change the dynamic of that power. So we need to have seats and people on the team at the table. Yeah.
And if you can't bring money, you can bring in kind, you can bring your services, but also we have to be real. I mean, no matter how much we like a dress in the window or a suit in the window, or how much we are passionate about it, or how much we talk about, we have to be real. It's about the money. Yeah. It's about the money. Broadway, I mean, you can say it, I'll say it again, and whoever wants to come for me, I don't care. There's no Black Broadway. There's Black Broadway. There's Black people in Broadway, but it's called green. It's a business. It's called show business. It's not show called passion. It's not show called play. Show play. You got to pay your bills. You got to pay your staff. You got to let, you know, so it has to be. But the thing is, it's like love. If you'll be in love, whether you get there, if you'll be in love a minute, a day, and that's how you have to, you know, I cried when I went to the first day of rehearsal of a colored man, because I had never known. I didn't know. See, now this is something I didn't know. I didn't know. When I walked in, there was a Black producer, Black sister, Black stage man. I didn't really know. I cried. I didn't know that I had not seen it.
Wow.
And it just overwhelmed me. I've been 50 years on Broadway, and I was walking in the room. I see. But the thing is that I've seen it. And that's it doesn't mean it has to. But the fact that is, you know, we can't dwell in the past. We just got to do, because I think if we do one thing for us, we're helping others. You know what I mean? So you'll never get the people to understand. You know, my mother, until she died, she was asking me, when you're going to get a real job. What I was saying is like Tony, I think we can't save the world, but I think each of us have our own that we can do. If we help ourselves, we can help others. I think that's how we do. We just have to keep speaking, because I can't change what you have in your pocket. Right. I can't make you do what I do. Everybody's not as strong as me. Everybody can't say what I say, you know, but that doesn't mean you don't have something to say. True. That doesn't mean you don't have something in your pocket.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you don't have the dress on that you feel that you want to wear, you know? No, seriously. We have to stop looking for validate. I mean, but everybody, you know, it comes with a process. You lose the people along the way, but we both said it. We have to realize family, faith, and foundation. Because my dad and my mother, they didn't care what we did, because all of us are doing this by choice.
Right. Yeah, that's
doing true. This by choice, because we're doing this by choice, because we could do anything we want to do.
Powerful statement.
And we still can, because there's always tomorrow.
Lady Irene, did you always know you wanted to produce or be a press agent?
I wanted to write Nancy Drew books.
Oh, okay.
I went to NYU for Nancy Drew books. They were already written. I went 6 weeks. I'm originally from Westbury, Long Island. My parents were like 40 years old when they had me. I couldn't do nothing. Old parents. They were one of the first Black families to settle there in 1935. Sure. I wasn't even, they, you know, those houses where they, hey, your mom's upstairs. You go to, probably got to be home at 9:30. You guys don't know about that. So when I moved to New York and my godfather, my mother was a domestic on the Phipps estate, which is now Old Westbury. My godfather was a groom with the ponies on the Phipps estate. My dad picked potatoes on a farm, which is now the Hamptons, which he couldn't understand why everybody wanted to stay there. Because when he died, he amassed all this, you know. So I'm saying, so family, and we, he never, Tony, what you guys will understand, I don't think our people understand, he never, African-American community, you always want to have money to get buried. There's always a scam that you pay $20, you pay $2, and they come for 20 years, you only end up with $5.
That's true. Isn't there a class action suit against it's that?
I think so. Because you guys know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. So sadly,
my dad taught me. He said, because he bought the land. He's landowner. Bought the land with us, and he said, he told me early on, and he said, when you own what you own, there's only one color. You can if you want to eat at a restaurant, they don't want you to build your own. Yes. And so every time the little insurance man, the white insurance man, would come. Into the house. Come, he wouldn't even let him in the house. He said he'd come to get the $2. Because when you own what you own, you can do that. Yeah. That was me with allowance. He said with money. He said, you need to work to have your own money. You can have it. I'll give it to you. But if I give it to you, then you can ask, I can tell you what to do with it. And that's going back to producer, mm-hmm. having your own. My friend told me, and it took me until like I'm 78, it took me till I was like 65 to understand what you was, well, maybe 55. Mm-hmm. Because I'm still trying to get a date. I won't say nothing. I don't want people to know how old I am. It took me like 55. It says, you know, you black people are you great at being knowing how to be hired, but you don't know how to be fired. Think about that. Think about that. People get fired all the time and probably had nothing to do with you. But we take, what I do, I'm a failure, I fail, blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
Think about it.
Very interesting.
And I'm saying that because all the work you're doing, people aren't paying you to because you look cute. You say what you feel. That's what I'm saying. If you're on the stage of eight performances a week, they're not paying you because you're cute.
Yeah.
You'll pay if you do the job. You need to say what you need to say.
Right.
That's what I say. Everybody know I say what I need to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I will just jump in with that, you know, in reference to Donna Walker Kuhn, again, sitting with her in those meetings at the table. And I remember the first time I sat in a meeting with Donna and I sat in the back and she was like this, no, baby, come on up, sit at the table. And I was like this, yes,
ma'am. Right, right.
and
I wanted you to tell that story.
I'm glad you told it. Sat at the table and I listened. That's is definitely, I think it's key with me. And I teach that, you know, to the younger generation, listen. It tells you a lot about somebody when you listen. You learn their mannerisms, you learn this right here, and you can communicate with them. You can read a room. And you have to start thinking like a producer. You have to start thinking like an executive because you do, to Lady Irene's statement, you have something to say, and you're sitting at that table because, not because you're cute, because you have something to say and you bring something to the table that's unique.
And also that's good. That's a good point. I wasn't teasing him, but talking about white people and communication, because let me tell you, we all know this. So we walk into a room, It just happened. I'm just my experience because I'm on both sides. You walk into a room and there are people and they're like 20 people and a white producer who you don't know or somebody white or something. This is a white producer say, oh, you look so good. Oh, you so look nice. So now I know that they're trying to have a comfort level, but the average African American, why are you in their mind? Why are you asking me? You didn't tell Janice she looked nice. You didn't tell this one she looked nice. Why you don't know me like that? How you know? I mean, that's all in their mind. Meanwhile, the body language. Everybody shut down, because. He stopped, the producer or the person of non-color is feeling some kind of way because he doesn't know what he did wrong. And what happens is everybody's lost because everything, the communications is shut down. And that's what we're talking about here. That movie, this is a failure to communicate.
Right.
So what I say when I make those statements, I said, okay, when I make the statements about you don't have, let me talk about you're not qualified. But I said, well, let's talk about how we can make this money or how we can market this show. And that put everybody back on the same vein because it's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's bigger than feelings. Yeah. So this is what I'm talking about. So that's the communication because like we talked about it earlier, they don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know how to, because they don't have to know. when we were doing American Song, the thing that Kenny done, the first thing he said to Jeremy and Jeremy Jordan and Steve Pasquale, did you ever have a talk? They say, what talk? Because nobody has to, nobody has to have to talk about if your son gets, if you can be pulled over right. by the car if you're a black person.
Yeah.
Right.
Or mind your manners. Or mind you, that's a talk. You worry about your children. They don't have that talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why would they know?
Yeah. It's very real. It's very real.
But I want to go back to Tony. I want to tell you something. The reason that you, it's a trust level. And I try, and people trust you because people are not going to trust you. We're talking a Broadway show. We're not talking a movie. We don't have that budget, $25-6 million for $18 million. We have, you can't give away tickets. And, you know, if you give away 100 tickets at $300 a ticket, people don't understand that you have to have a level of trust that when they put those tickets in your hand to influence people, it's going to generate dollars.
Yes.
So that's the trust level.
Yes. Yes.
So we're at the end of our podcast, and we like to ask all of our guests one final question, the same final question. What is one piece of advice you'd like to share with the Black future leaders of Broadway?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. One piece of advice. I'm going to talk to Black women. Have a level of dignity about you always. When you're in the room, be prepared. Always trust yourself, trust your gut, move in excellence. Always be true, be fair, be honest. Just have fun with it. When you can have a career that is something that you love, it is easy. Even though this is a tiring career, we're tired. We're working hours upon hours, but you do it because you love it. And you do it because you love live theater. You do it because you want to, you know, show people that there are Black folks on stage, behind the scenes, everything. You want them to experience that feeling when you go into a live theater. It's nothing like it. And again, I say because theater chose me. I don't even know how to articulate that because it literally chose me. But it's just, be honest, be truthful to yourself. Go after what you want. If it's theater that you want, behind the scenes, if you want to be a producer, go after it. Hard. And life is short. We don't have the time to play around with, you know, 20 years, you know, Lady Irene is in a stellar career. People don't get that nowadays. You might get 5, 10, 20 years if you're good. So go after it. But don't think it's going to come overnight. Pay your dues and learn and watch and listen. So find a mentor, find a couple if you can. And, you know, volunteer, you know, go to school. You don't necessarily have to go to college, but, you know, it is, I think it's something that you learn people skills. I think that is something that we're losing in the young generation, those people skills, because everything is on their device. But, you know, you need to have conversations with folks because all in all, I'll end with this. It's all about relationships. It's keeping relationships. Lady Irene said it too. Yes, you want to be likable, but I rather be trustworthy and I don't have to be liked all the time because if I need to make the hard decisions, I'm good with making the hard decisions, but it's just being honest and true and go after what you want. I think I'll leave it with that.
I love it. Lady Irene.
Always remember, I always tell people, we're providing the service. Once there is we're like governess. It's not a house. And we're providing a service. And if people tell me I'm doing a good job, that's insulting to me because that's what I'm supposed to do. And always have faith. And once you take, it's not about you. And once you take you out of the city, because we're not curing cancer. We don't really have real jobs. I mean, we have real jobs, but I'm saying that really changing careers. But we do have people that are changing people's lives because we can uplift them. And that's what with the service. And that's when I say it's more than about me.
I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Lady Irene. I want to thank our guests and you, our listeners. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend your time with me, and I am grateful. Be sure to subscribe at bpn.fm/BBB so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, tell a friend. I'm your host, Janine Scott, and we at the Broadway League hope you enjoyed this episode of The Black Business of Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.